not going in the direction we're going to go in today. I had on my heart some other things I wanted to cover, and this was not, I wouldn't call it an audible voice, but it was pretty close. I mean, it was just boom, it just broke into my understanding, and the Lord said, I want you to teach my people that this year I want them to be totally debt-free. I want their debts canceled. I want them to walk in financial freedom. How many vote for that? Amen? Praise God. We're not going to take any extra offerings tonight, today or anything like that, but I want to put some things in your heart, put some things in your ear that I believe will help you, strengthen you. It did me. Matter of fact, here's what I tell. How many of you have a conversation with the Lord like you do with someone else? I mean, you know. And I just said, okay, Father, well, look, I have a lot of scriptures I could draw from. I'm knowledgeable. I will say that. But that's not enough. I need you to put in my heart something that's a rhema word. It's quickened. It's alive. It's for right now. And for the next 3 days, that's all he did, was just download things to me. So I'm here really as a result of that to share these thoughts with you. And so we're going to go ahead and get it started. Say, PD, go for it. Thank you, I will. Glory to God. All right, so we're going to look at the, there's a few scriptures I want to look at here. The first one is from the Message Bible, Deuteronomy 15 and 1. The Bible says, at the end of every seventh year, now this is, understand, this is under the old covenant, but how many know we have a better covenant? Tell the person next to you, we have a better covenant in Christ. All right. At the end of every seventh year, cancel all debts. Oh, yeah, baby. This is the procedure. Everyone who has lent money to a neighbor writes it off. You must not press your neighbor or his brother for payment. All debts are canceled. God says so. You may collect payment from foreigners, but whatever you have lent to your fellow Israelites, you must write off. So we know the heart of God. I mean, you know, it's very important to know the heart of God. Even though we're reading Old Covenant teaching, this has always been the heart of God. The Father does not want us burdened with a lot of debt. Can you say amen? That's why it's important not to get in it in the first place if you can help it. But if you can't, if for whatever reason you were in a corner, you had to do what you did, God wants to get you out. Can you say amen? How many are glad that we serve a long-suffering God? Absolutely, man. All right. So let's look at Luke 4 and 19 in the Passion Translation. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and this is Jesus obviously speaking. This is his initial ordination by the Holy Spirit message. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's quoting from Isaiah 61, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, healing for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners, you are set free. How many know we can be prisoners to debt as well? How many do not want that? Praise God. There's a way out. You are set free, he says. I have come to share the message of Jubilee. This is pretty cool. For the time of God's great acceptance has come. We since Christ's coming, when he made this declaration, we have been in a Jubilee time, right? Which means Jubilee was a time when all debts were canceled every 50 years. And 50 is the number of Pentecost, right? And so God is saying, look, I've cleared this away for you. You can be free this year. You can be debt-free this year. Look, that's been available since the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, but I'm taking it now, praise the Lord, right? How many know better late than never, right? Absolutely. So, but you know, how many know that we have to know it first? We have to know. We have to know it in our knower. We have to be convinced of it. What I would say to you too would be to, as you write these things down, ask the Holy Spirit to make it real to you. How many know you can hear the letter of the word, but God wants to quicken the word to you. He wants it to be rhema. Rhema means it's a personal word just to you. How many of you have you've read the Bible before in certain areas, and then you read it one day and you said, I've never read that before. You had read it before, but you had never read it with that kind of understanding and that anointing on it. Can you say amen? And so this is what I'm talking about. Go back over these notes. Keep studying them. A lot of times we don't grab anything until the second or third time around. I know I do that in listening to videos. You know, Ian and I were listening to. I like to buy videos and CDs from really anointed preachers. I mean, no, we need to be in. We need to do that. And we were listening to Bill Winston. Anybody ever hear him? He's great. And he was talking about rest. And he was saying, as long as you have a provision problem, you can't have a rest in God. And so God is wanting us to be free. But I received his notes after I had downloaded this from the Holy Spirit. All right, so number one, if you can see, if you can see it, you can have it. Say, if I can see it, I can have it. Let's look at a few of these scriptures. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me. I love this. Declaring the end from the beginning. God, hear me now, will give you an end game before you start. He will show you where he's going to take you. Peter, you're excited. Yeah, because I've this thing's got in me. He said, declaring the end from the beginning. I'm going to give you an illustration of this. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Wow. All right, well, let's look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher. He gave you the ability to believe in the first place. He spoke a word to you, and faith arose, right? And how many know he knows when to finish it and how to finish it? But all the time in between, he's pouring into us. He's pouring into us. He's strengthening us. He's edifying us through his word and by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He began it, and he knows how to end it up. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's none higher than he except the Father. He's at his right hand, and he rules over all. How many know he's in charge, right? We're going to see that more and more in the days ahead as he reveals his plan to us. I think this is one of the reasons that God wants us debt-free. Can you say amen? Absolutely. But he wants to make it easy for us to do, so we're not sweating, all right? Now, this is important. Meditation gives you the, literally, penetration into the revelation. The fill-in there is revelation. Okay? Another word for penetration would be entrance. It's not a revelation into the revelation, but it's an entrance into the revelation so that we say, wow, I have seen that, but I haven't seen it like I have recently. This is new. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Psalm 119, verse 18. David cried, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law or from your word. How many know that's a really good prayer to pray? Lord, I don't know it like I need to know it. Lord, open my eyes. How many know he will? He will give you a spirit of revelation and understanding in the wisdom that you need, right? Because he's a good God. He loves you, right? So he is willing and he is ready to do this for you. Let's look at Habakkuk. I love this. We'll get into that in just a minute, but I want to give you the, I want to read that scripture. Habakkuk chapter 2, 1 through 3. This is so rich. This is so full of revelation. I want you to really get this. He said, I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the rampart. Interesting words. I will watch to see what he will say to me. Wow. Think about that a minute. I will watch what? You may have your eyes closed. You're praying in the Spirit. You're worshiping God. And Lord, what is it you want me to see? You worship him, and all of a sudden he's speaking to you, but he speaks to you in word pictures, and all of a sudden you have a picture, a revelation that you didn't have before, right? That's what this means. I will stand on my watch. I will set myself on the rampart. I will watch to see what he will say to me. Because I may know when God speaks his word, he speaks it in word pictures so we can see it, right? I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered to me and said what? Write the vision. That's why it's important. I challenge you when you're having time with the Lord, quiet time, when you're inquiring of the Lord, get a notebook or something you can write in. Write it down, right? Because how many know you'll forget it if you don't? I'm walking in the park and I've got my phone, my iPhone, and all of a sudden he'll download something and I'll speak into the phone, you know, and he'll download something else because I know if I don't record it right then, I'll forget it, right? And I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. It's too valuable, that time with the Lord, right? And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Tell your neighbor, write the vision. Every single one of us has a vision and a purpose from God. Lean over, tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. Every one of us has a purpose in Christ. And God wants to expand it more and more for us. How many know he's not finished with you? Tell your neighbor, he is definitely not finished with you. He has a lot more to download in you, right? Absolutely. He wants to, but he's always ready. He wants us to be ready. Write the vision. Lean over and tell your neighbor again, write the vision. Say, don't get lazy. Okay. Make it plain. Write it plain so you can understand it. I don't know about you, but I have lousy handwriting. Why? Because I took notes for so many years in undergrad school, grad school, all that stuff. And so I almost have to print to have an understanding, you know. And sometimes I'm taking notes so fast I have to go back. What did I say? What else? Make it plain that he may run who reads it. That's you primarily. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. How many know there is an appointed time? There is an appointed time when one day you will what? You will be totally debt free. You will see the culmination, as they say, the denouement, the ending of this thing that you're believing God for. It will happen, right? Tell your neighbor, it will happen. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, when is the end? That's up to God. I don't know when that is, right? But at the end, it will speak. And it will not lie. Though it tarries, I mean, you know, God is famous for tarrying a little bit sometimes. When are you coming, God? Oh, help me. Though it tarries, wait for it. I mean, you know, every one of us are impatient. I don't want to go any further than that. Okay. Because it will surely come. There's your surely again. It will surely come. It's going to surely happen for you. But listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Inquire. You can inquire. You can ask him questions. How many of you do that? Ask him questions. If you don't, start doing it. If you're not doing it, repent and start doing it. Start asking questions of God. Because he loves the dialogue. He loves that, right? Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Wow. Okay. So that is our entrance here. So if you will say this, I'll give you the fill-ins again. I will watch to see what the Lord will say. Now, look at this. He gave a general plan, plus the specifics. Let's look at Joshua 6, 1 through 5. I hope I don't have to, Joshua 6, 1 through 5. There you go. Remember, I said he gives you the end from what? From the beginning, right? Well, I didn't know God did that. Yup. Yeah, he does, right? Now we're going to build on this because it's one thing to say that, but it's another thing to have an example of what he just said. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. They were scared to death, the folks from Jericho. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. All right? They hadn't seen the result yet, but he's telling the end from what? From the beginning. See? I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. Now he's giving you the plan. He showed you the end from the beginning. You're going to get this city. And oh, by the way, here's how I want you to do it. How many are glad that he not only gives you the overall picture, but he shows you how to get there? Can you say amen? Right? He really wants us to get this. Like the song says, he's a what? Good, good father. Absolutely. All right. And you shall do this 6 days, and seven priests shall bear the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And that's Joshua calling, saying this is true, right? But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Wow. So he gives you the end from the beginning, and then he shows you how to do it. God's so good. You say, well, you know, I don't know how to get out of debt. I don't know how to get my house paid. I don't know how to do these things. But you know what? He does, right? And as you wait in his presence, he will begin to download things to you, and he will give you specific strategy. How many know he loves you enough to do that? Oh, absolutely he does. You can do a better amen than that. I mean, I want you to believe this stuff, right? I want you to believe it. It's going to happen for you. But I'm older. Shut up. So am I. I'm older than you are. We're going to see it happen, right? Oh, absolutely. Because he loves us. He wants us free, and as long as we have a lot of financial issues, how many know we can't be fully free? Isn't that right? Because we're uptight about stuff. Our blood pressure's way up. This is up. You know, my blood pressure's okay. I'll just take more pills. That sucks. I mean, come on. If you have to take it, take it. But how many would rather be free? Well, one of the ways we can be free is to be financially free. Right? And so God is for you. He really wants you to be free. Yes, ma'am. Let's see. There is an appointed time. This is number two. There is an appointed time. Is that the one? Okay. I'm sorry. Meditation gives you it's the penetration or entrance into the revelation. Revelation is the fill-in. All right? There's a great story. How many of you ever heard of a great preacher, he's with Jesus now, named E.V. Hill? E.V. Hill. He had a mother that was extremely revelatory. And she had a number of children, and they had to pray their meals in every day. How many are glad you don't have to do that? But they had to pray their meals in every day. And he was a young man, and she looked at E.V. Hill, who became one of the great preachers of this country. And all we had E.V. Hill at our church. I mean, he was incredible. And the 1970 Washington for Jesus, he was one of the prime leaders in that. So E.V. Hill's mom gave him a word from God. She said, "You, son, are going to college this year, and you are going to get a free ride." He said, "Well, but mine," said, all I've been able to put aside is $16. That's not going to get me anywhere. I don't have money for tuition, don't have money for books. I don't know what to do." She said, "We're going to take you to the school, and you will have a free ride for 4 years." "How do you know that, Mom?" "The Holy Spirit told me. I asked God to do it. He said he would do it. All you got to do is believe it and get over there." So they take him to the school, the college, university. He's in line, and he said he's only got a few people in front of him, and they're paying full tuition. And this guy comes walking up to him, and he said, "You Hill, you E.V. Hill?" And he says, "Yes, sir, I am." "Get out of here. Get out of the line. Come over here." And he said, I kind of ignored him because what was this guy trying to do? He said, "I said, are you E.V. Hill?" And he said, "Yes, I am." He said, "We need to talk to you. Come on over here." So he said, "I had no choice." So I got out of the line because this guy was one of the officials. And he said, 4 years have already been provided for you, plus all your books." He goes, "What?" "Whatever Mama says, baby." I mean, no, Mama was hearing from God in that situation, right? See, so how many know the Lord wants to push the easy button with us? You know, we've been taught that we have to do it the hard way. How many know that's no good? How many know God has a better way, right? Sure. My burden is what? Easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, right? Sometimes we just pass over that. God wants us to believe that. Tell your neighbor, "I believe it." Okay. So there is an appointed time, and it will speak. This is number two toward the end. Listen to George Washington Carver's story. I read about this guy again this week. How many of you have heard of him? He was an African-American young man born right after the Civil War. In the natural, he had just no chance to advance. It was pretty bad. He got saved at 10, and he began to walk in the woods and talk to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him. First of all, E.V. Hill, not E.V. Hill, but Carver said to the Lord, he said, "You know, I'm hungry to know all the secrets of the universe." And the Lord said, "I'm not going to give you all the secrets of the universe." He's just a little guy. He said, "I will give you one secret, the secret of the peanut." He developed 300 uses for the peanut, became extremely wealthy, and gave away so much of the wealth to other people to get him started. He taught. He taught in college. He was quite a guy, but he got it by revelation. Tell your neighbor, he got it by revelation. Because he began immediately to study all about the peanut. And he found all these different uses. I'm thankful for the peanut butter. I mean, I just take one of them, right? How many like peanut butter, right? Okay. So, but all I'm saying is, look, we make this too hard, right? Well, but everybody's heard of him. Yeah, but he was obscure for years. But he loved Jesus, and he spent time with Jesus, and he walked with Jesus in the way, and God spoke to him and downloaded things to him, and he began to write all the things that the Lord was saying to him. He was able to develop all these products and be used by God in so many ways, and he made so much money, he was able to help his own people in gaining college educations and things like that, right? The things that were on his heart, that the Holy Spirit had put on his heart, he was able to do those things. How many want that for you? I want that for you. Number three, let's look at Malachi, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Malachi. All right. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this. Literally, prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. It's the only place in Scripture he says this. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing for you, there will not be room enough to receive it. Wow. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That means the powers of hell that would try to eat up our finances. He rebukes them. So when the enemy tries to attack us, he doesn't have a foothold. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I've told this example before. Not everybody's heard it, but my father was and mom were real givers. But my dad, he suffered from alcoholism. He had issues in his heart toward his own dad, which he made it right once he got saved. And then, you know, he began to seek the Lord about things. And remember, he just one day just told the Lord, you know, I'm reading for the first time. He started going to AA meetings. He started going to church. His pastor reached out to him. And he told my dad, he said, you want your way out of the financial problems that you're in, read Malachi 3, 10, and 11. So my dad read it, and he read it, and then he meditated on it. That's the key, meditation. When he spent time meditating on it, chewing it up, all of a sudden the Lord began to open his eyes. Wow. And he began to personalize it to my father. And so my dad said, I'm reading here, it says I can prove God in this area. And he said, I only have $5 to my name, but I'm sowing it on Sunday. And so we sowed it. Within 1 week, I won't tell you the specifics of how it happened. The first day he got a new job. He got a man called him, offered him a job. He met this fella in AA meetings. He was a businessman, had a seat on the stock exchange, took a liking to my dad. He said, you know, I want to bless you. And he said, I not only want you to have a job, because I found out you don't have one. He said, we're going to get you set up. He said, you're going to be trained as a security analyst on Wall Street. And he said that the time may come when you'll be able to become a full stockbroker. But he said, in the meantime, he said, I prayed about this. And he said, you probably need a vehicle. And my dad said, yeah, I do. He said, my car is just shot. So he said, my brother-in-law has a Ford convertible, 1 year old, and he's not using it. He's driving another car. And he said, you can go ahead and have it, and when you have enough money, you can start paying on it, but don't even start until your salary starts coming in. So he said, my dad said, oh, my gosh, day one I get a new job. Day two I get a new car. And then day three he got a letter in the mail with enough money in the letter to pay all the debts that he had. All the debts. He was debt-free within 3 days. Debt-free within 3 days of embracing tithes. God gave him a ministry of giving. But he was one of these guys, he would never blow a trumpet before him. You'd never know, your right hand would never know what your left hand's doing with him. But he was amazing. And over the years, I learned a lot of things that had taken place. But he learned that by the spirit of revelation. And he lived it and he walked it. And you know what? God wants to do the same with us. So if we're not tithing and we start doing it, let's do it with expectancy, right? It's not enough just to say, well, that's a good word for so-and-so. No, it's a great word for you. And it's going to start changing your financial landscape, as they say in the Deep South, right now. They're going to do it right now, okay? It's going to happen for you. Praise God. All right. So tithes deal with the attack. The enemy wants to attack your finances, okay? Number four, their offerings too. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10. This deals what comes through those open windows from Malachi. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10 in the Amplified. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Just stop there just a minute. How many know that as a kingdom child, how many of you are kingdom children? You're children of God, absolutely, sons and daughters. You are in a different level. You're in a different kingdom. You're in a different kingdom. You're in a different kingdom. The kingdom in the natural is what? The kingdom in the natural that we do is buying and selling, right? But in the kingdom of God, it's what? Sowing and reaping. Two different kingdoms. Manifested in two different ways of financial dealings. All right? Now, you may be in a job when you need to buy and sell. You're doing it for your company. But how many know God will give you favor in that area? Charlie is finding incredible favor. He's buying and selling, but he's a tither. So he's really in a different kingdom. But his job happens to, he needs to be able to buy and sell, and he's doing a great job of it. He said, God just blown me away how he's dealt with me and helped me so much. Let's look at verse 7. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You don't do what I tell you to do. You do what God tells you to do. You go to the Holy Spirit and you say, Lord, what do you have for me? All right? What it is for someone else may not be good for you, but God gave that other person the plan. How many know God knows what? The end from the what? From the beginning, and he will show you the plan to get there. Praise God. How many want to get there? Absolutely. So you're excited, little guy, aren't you? Yeah, I am. I really am. All right. All right, let's go to the next one. And God is able to make all grace. Oh, I love all grace. See, I can use all grace. Oh, you don't know where I'm coming from, PD. Doesn't matter. He gives you all grace. I can't do that. He does. He's able to make all grace what? Abound toward you. How many like that word abound? Love it. All right? That you always, is that really what it says? Sometimes. No. Always having all sufficiency. Paul, you sure like the word all here. I do too. In all things may have an abundance. Oh, I love that A word. Abundance. Everybody say abundance. How many like saying it? Huh? Sure. Absolutely. And by the way, when God starts blessing you and he's going to do it, how many know we're not called to hoard it? I'm serious. I remember the first time the Holy Spirit was talking to me, he said, take some money out of the bank, put it in your pocket, go over here to Walmart, I'm going to show you. There's some people, there's one family that needs to be, you need to sow to them. I'll bless you, I'll take care of you, don't worry about it. So I went there and I'm walking the aisle, I'm looking around, praying in the Spirit. Trying not to sing too loud or speak too loud so they don't throw a net over me. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit said, look for a young couple with a little kid, little child, in the push cart. There they come. Whoa. I said, can I talk with you a little bit? Well, yeah. I said, Holy Spirit wants to do this for you. I said, I knew you were going to be here. That's why I'm here. I don't need to buy anything here. Now, Anna loves Walmart, boy, but I go with her by grace. Okay? Would you go with me to Walmart? Yeah, I'll go with you. Jesus. Just being honest, man. You know, I'm a guy, right? So, anyway, the woman starts crying. It was an answer to prayer. The husband comes. He's a great big guy. He's a truck driver. He was out of work. You really want to do this? Yeah, I do. How many know we have to come to the place where we do it as unto God, whether they ever come to church or not? Maybe they'll go to some other church. Maybe that's where God wants them. I mean, we just have to stay on track. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you got to stay on track. You do what he tells you to do. You do that, you'll be all right. Let's keep going. God is able to make all grace abound toward you that you always, I love always, yeah. And having all sufficient, I love that word all, in all things, not just a few, may have what? An abundance, love that word too, for every good work. Beautiful, beautiful. We have to believe it. You say, well, how do I believe it? Keep reading it and meditating on it until the Holy Ghost speaks to you and quickens you and says, this is for you, not just Dave Newell. Right? That's how you got to do it. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower say, that's me. Say, I'm a sower. And bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Wow, you can't lose for winning, right? Okay. So, we read that. The offerings, read the scripture, deals with what comes through those windows. Malachi said, I will open the windows of heaven. That's your tithe. I haven't preached a tithing message, I think, in a couple of years. Well, that's what comes through the open windows is the what? The offerings that are seed that you plant determines what comes through. All right, so the offerings, they deal with what comes through those windows. The tithes stop the devil in his tracks from taking what you have earned. So, let's look at Mark 10:30, great scripture. He says, everyone who's left father, mother, husband, wife, not husband, but or wife, but it says along those lines, you've left your home base, so to speak. You're following God, you're doing the things that God wants you to do. Who shall not receive 100-fold now? Everybody say now. How many know when you start operating in this way, it's for you right now? How many know we don't need money in heaven? We don't need it. But we need it here, not just for us. We need it to bless other people, to help other people. Man, that's where it's at, right? Who shall not receive 100-fold now? 100 times, literally, is what that means. In this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. You know who's going to persecute you? All the jealous folks. All the jealous people, man. Where did they get that money? Right? They'd never understand a million years. Now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. So the 100 times is like the parameters that you can believe for. And then, I want to end with this. I want to tell you my story again. I think it's really important. Let's look at Amos 9:13. And I'm gonna give you the fill-in, and we're going to read the scripture. Amos 9:13. I'll read it first. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God decrees. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other, you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings, blessings, like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. In the King James Version, it says that the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him that sows seed. In other words, harvesting is taking place so quickly, you won't be able to keep up with it. Now, I question the Lord. Let me just say this to you. Let me be clear on this. I had dropped, Ina and I had dropped Andrew off at ORU a number of years ago. He's going to college there. He had a scholarship. And he calls me and he says, "Dad, everything's covered but the books. We need $700 for the books." And so I said to him, and then he said, "Should we get a loan?" You know? What do you mean? What do you mean? What's this waste? So I said, "So I'm going to go back to the Lord. I'm going to ask God for a scripture." That's the first thing we need to do. When we run into a problem, go back and ask the Holy Spirit for a scripture, for a word. We shall live what? Not by what? Bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's that rhema word, quicken word, right? I said, "I need a word here, man. I don't have $700 for books." The Holy Spirit said, "Read Amos 9:13. So I read it. I said, "So you're going to have to interpret this for me." How many know he's good at that? I said, "Because you said the time is coming when the plowman will overtake the reaper and treader of grapes him and sow seed. But I've always read, 'Cast your bread on the waters, and after many days it will return.' So, Lord, you're going to have to reconcile this for me, please." So he said, "I want you to read the 14th and 15th verse of Amos 9:13. You read 13, but you need to read 14 and 15 because it tells you when this scripture can be activated." I went, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He said this scripture could not be activated until 1948 when Israel returned to their home. Because if you read the context, I mean, no, it's important we read context. All right? So I read the 13th verse. I got excited about the 13th verse. Then I read 14 and 15, and it says basically, this can happen when Israel goes back to its home country, its homeland. Happened 1948. So God says, "See, so now you can use this." He said, "David, this is a New Testament scripture hidden in the Old Testament." Because he said also, he said, you know, part of this chapter was quoted by James over in Acts 15 concerning the Gentiles. I went, "Wow." So he said, "No." So I said, "Well, then what? Okay, now I understand theologically, but what do I do? How do I act on it?" He will tell you what? The end from the beginning. He said, "Here's what you do." So $30 to Oral Roberts Ministry, because he's going to Oral Roberts University. Sew it. I said, "Okay." I wrote a check out. Phew. All right. Sunday morning comes along. Person walks up to me and hands me a check for $1,000. I didn't tell anybody. Ina and I hadn't told a soul. They didn't know what we needed. Here. Whoa. So I had a $300 profit, as it were. 10 times what I tithed. Oh. Starting to see some supernatural stuff here. 1 year later, I get a call from Andrew again. "Dad. Same problem. Got a free ride, scholarship, but I need $700 for books. What shall we do?" So I went back to the Father. I said, "Lord, can I use this? I don't want to be presumptive, but can I use this same verse?" He said, "You can." And so I did. I said, "Should I do the same offering?" "Yeah. Oral Roberts Ministry, $30. That'll work." I did. Came in church on Sunday. People didn't know about it. Person comes up and hand me $1,000. "Ooh, I think this is working, Senor." Then I walked away from it. Why? And I remember the Lord, 2016. I'm going down to New Orleans. Ina and I are going down to New Orleans. We're going to see all our young people, a couple hundred of them, coming to receive ministry. We're going to prophesy over all these people. And so, you know, God said, I want you to minister on Amos 9:13 for them. They all need financial help. I mean, no, we all need financial help. I said, so you're telling me you want me to preach on this? Because I hadn't preached on it. I got the revelation on it. I never preached on it. He said, no, David, let's sit down and talk. How many know God is so long-suffering, especially when we're dumb? How many of you have been dumb from time to time? Right? Well, I was dumb because I didn't seek him to get a full understanding of where he wanted me to go. He said, David, I gave you that revelation for the whole body of Christ. That's why I've got a little booklet on it. He said, for the whole body. I never meant that to be a one- or two-time deal. I followed up on this because that was my promise to you. I went, oh, my Father, please forgive me. Oh, I will preach on this, man. You know, and I did. But I learned something. And you know what? God wants you to have this, right? How many know we all have to learn from somebody? And you go before the Lord. You ask the Holy Spirit about this because I believe he will really, really make a difference and he will really help you. Now, look at this. So, I said Amos 9:13 accelerates the time of returns. It's not just cast your bread on the waters and after many days it will return, but there's a better way even. Okay? So, you know, look, I believe in really, really making sure I'm hearing because I'm having to bring this message. So I said, okay, Father, one last time. I mean, God's long-suffering with us. He loves us. I said, I want to sow something. And then I'm going to, if you will show me that this wasn't just for a couple of decades ago, but I can use it any time. So where should I see? He tells me where to sow it. That's on a weekend or whatever. Starting on Monday, I go to the mailbox, a couple checks there from just out of the blue, large ones. Tuesday, same thing. Wednesday, same thing. Thursday, same thing. Friday, same thing. I went, okay, God, forgive me, Lord. I mean, no, it's okay to feel your way along here, but once I know it, I know it. And that's the way we ought to be. That's the way we ought to be. And so I'm praying that God will speak to you and show you these things, and it'll become a part of you as well. So I say this, Mark 10:29 and 30 gives us the parameters of the return, which is 100 times 100-fold. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive what? 100-fold now, say now, in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands and with persecutions, people will get jealous of you. And in the age to come, eternal life. So we can lean on his word. His word is good. It will happen. Believe it. Stand on it, right? It's rock solid. And even if you kind of have a little trepidation, how many know that's okay? A little fear and trembling, you know. But this is my money. I know. you prove God on it. He will show you this is truth. It's real truth. And because he loves you. But how many know it's the kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of what? Men. You better be able to buy and sell in the natural. But in the supernatural, in the kingdom of God, it's sowing and reaping. And this is a shortcut that will help you get debt free. And I believe we're all believing for that in this new year in every way. Because see, God wants us, look, how many know we have to lift our vision higher? And I'm going to end with this, but God wants our vision higher so that we are excited about giving to other people. How many love it when you're able to give to other people and see joy hit them? Absolutely. I love it when we're able to sow to that truck driver and his wife, you know, coming back to God. That's a great way to put a hook. You know, God loves you. He's for you. I need to come back to God. Good. Yeah, it's what? His goodness leads you to repentance. Hello. And God will use us to bring that message in a very real, solid way. Let's stand. Praise God. I'd like our altar team to come. You may have a need. We're not taking offerings or anything like that tonight. We already did that. But we're here. If you have any needs, if you need healing, you need prayer for anything, if you need the prayer of agreement, our team are great agreeers. They're really good. And so we're going to pray, and then you can come. We'll put a little music on there. It'd be great. So, Father, we love you, and I just thank you for putting this on my heart. I know, Lord, that in this year, you want us to be debt-free in every area. And that goes for the church. We thank you, Lord, that all we do is we pay our monthly note here, and that's it. Church doesn't know anything. But, Father, we thank you that we're going to be able to. We not only bought that land, Father, for $113,000 cash, God said, don't build on it. Use it as an investment. And now the land is exploding all around. And, Lord, we thank you that the value of that land is going up. And when we need the building, we believe the finances will be there for it, as well as what God's people contribute. And we just thank you for miraculous answers to prayer. We thank you for miraculous open doors for everybody, because every one of you has that same desire to be free. So, Father, I just lift my hand over these awesome people. We love them dearly. We thank you, Father, for their hearts. We thank you for their love for you. We thank you that they're in the kingdom of God, and they have a desire to see many other people won to the kingdom of God as well. And we can use any way, any means possible to bring people in. Who knows what might happen? We walk up to a person, we speak to them for a short time. God says, give them so much. You do it. They break, they weep, they cry, they receive Christ. So, Lord, we just thank you that you're in that business, and we're in it with you to translate people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of our God. In Jesus' name. Guys, come. You need prayer.